The following shiur has been presented by Rav Ari Marburger, Dayan at Beis Din Mesharim and author of Business Halacha, and has been brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center.
For halachic wills and estates or other inyana Yerusha, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Bava Metzia Ayin Beis. The Mishnah introduces a new concept of Ein Poiskin Ala Peiros Atra Yotza Hashar. A person cannot prepay for fruits, make a price, until there's a clear and developed price for this item. The fear is that they'll make up, they'll pay, say, $5 per bushel. By the time for delivery, the price may have risen, it may be worth $10 a bushel, and in that event, what we'll do is it will look like ribbis. It's going to appear as if you're selling $10 worth of fruits for $5 as schar hamtanos mois. It's payback for the fact that the buyer prepaid. So therefore, if there's no clearly developed price, and the person wants to pay today and receive delivery in the future, that would be aser. However, once it's yotza ashar, once the item is readily available and it has a stable market price, this is allowed. Because if the item today costs $5 a bushel and you're paying $5 a bushel, you're locking in its current value. And since either party can take that $5 cash, buy the wheat, buy the peiros, and simply store it, therefore, if he chooses not to, we don't look at any possible benefit or any possible increase in value as Chayam Tanas Mois. It's simply because he's not getting anything more than he would have had he simply purchased the item directly. It's only when it's Loyot Ashar, when at the time the money was advanced, the payers were not available, he couldn't simply take the money and buy the fruits, they weren't around, then we look at any potential increase as Chayam Tanas Mois. Now, what this essentially is the futures market. You're paying money today for October delivery of wheat, of oil, whatever it may be. And what the Mishnah is telling us is that that's aser. In a practical sense, people who deal with options or with futures generally do not have a halacha issue for two reasons. The first is that, as we know, the hilchos ribbis applies only when both the borrower and the lender, or in this case, the buyer and the seller, are Jewish. If either party is not Jewish, there's no issur of ribbis. When you're dealing with options and futures, generally your counterparty is not Jewish. Some cases, many cases, you don't know who it is. I believe according to most poskim, you will go basarayev, which are not Jewish, and therefore it will be mutzer. So as long as your counterparty or your clearinghouse is a goy, there are no issues whatsoever. The second point is that as the Mishnah says, this applies only when it's lo yotza hashar, when there's no stable developed price for the item. If you're dealing with futures of say oil, since today there is a shar for oil, people can go, you can take the money and instead of buying the futures, you can just buy the physical oil today and just store it. Therefore, this is the equivalent of yotza hashar, and it would be mutter. Of course, this assumes that the futures price is higher than the current price. If you're getting a discount, if today oil is $120 a barrel, but if you prepay for 6 month delivery, for some reason it's only $100 an hour a barrel, then this heter will not apply. The whole concept of yotza hashar is that I can take that money and buy it today for that price. If you're getting a discount at below today's value, that would be aser. Now, another example of this is if a person has a sale. So as long as you pay today and the items are in stock, it's yeshlei, there's nothing wrong with that. There's no ribbis, there's no halva, there's no amtanas mois. A person can discount his merchandise however much he chooses. However, what happens if he doesn't have it in stock? The going price is $100. And he tells you, if you prepay for $90, I'll get it for you. So over here, it's not Yeshlei. He doesn't have it in stock. There's no Mekach or Memkar. There's no sale that happens immediately. You can't sell something that you don't have. So if it's Yotze HaShar, if there is a clear developed price, if you can go to any other store in the marketplace and get it for $90, that would be fine. That's Yotze HaShar. However, in our case, where the Shar is $100, you're giving a discount and selling it for $90, there, in such a case, if it's not Yeshle, if you do not have it in stock, it would be Aser. Now, there's another very common scenario of Poskim when it comes to buying houses on paper. Very often, people will buy a house on paper. A developer will simply own the land, he'll have approvals, he'll have plans, and he'll start selling houses. People who buy houses on paper put down a portion of the money immediately, and in exchange, they're locking in a price. When the houses are actually built, they usually appreciate in value over the time. It's already a developed area, and if you buy the house later, it's significantly more expensive. This seems to run into the issue of our Mishnah. You are being poiskin ala peres. You are setting a price, you're freezing a price today for future delivery. You're not getting it until the house is built 6 months, a year, 2 years down the line. If the house appreciates in value at the time of the closing, this should be usur. And you should have a chiyuv to pay the full market value at the time of closing. Now again, if it was yeshloi, if a person buys an existing home, even if he signs a contract today and doesn't close for another year, since it was Yeshlei, since the seller owned the house at the time that he accepted the money, at the time the deal was consummated, the Isser will not apply. However, when you're buying a house on paper, although the developer owns the property, he's selling you a house, a developed, an improved property. The house doesn't exist. He's selling a Dover Shloi Bola Oilam, and therefore the heter of Yeshlei, of having it in stock, will not apply. Often, there's a second heter, and that is the Ramah Paskins in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel, Siv Zayin, that when there will never be a clear price, it's mutter. The whole problem of setting a price today and accepting delivery tomorrow is that if the price rises, then at the time of delivery, everyone will see that you're getting $10 worth of fruits, even though you only paid $5 6 months ago. However, if we're dealing with an item, which is Ein Shum Usur Yadua, where even at the time of delivery, when you close on the property, it doesn't have a clear price, it's not Mechzik HaRibis. It does not appear to be Ribis. No one really knows the true value today, and therefore it would be Mutter. As a general rule, we say Ein Oino L'Karkois. Property, real estate, does not have a precise value. People are very often willing to pay a premium to be in a specific location, near a relative, or near a shul, or for whatever reason it may be. And therefore, property doesn't have a set value. Therefore, typically, when you buy a house on paper, since even at the time of the delivery, it will not have a clear price, therefore, it will be Ein Shum Usur Yadua, it will not appear to be Ribis, even though you paid a relatively cheap price at the time that you signed the contract, and it would be Mutter. However, you have to keep in mind two things. First of all, this Ramah itself is a bit controversial. The Taz and other Poskim argue. Even the Poskim that defend the Ramah, their reasons and their svaras do not necessarily apply to this case. Also, in a practical sense, if you're dealing with a specific house in a neighborhood, you can argue it's ancient must you do, it doesn't have a clear price. However, if you're dealing with a large development where there are dozens of townhouses that are built essentially the same way and have the same value, then it's very likely that although we're dealing with real estate, it will have a shar yadua. If at the time of the closing people have already flipped identical units in an identical location for an extra $50,000, then it's yadua lakol that the price being paid is not the true value, and it would be usur. Now this really leads us to a final point. What is the isser of being poisik ala peres? The isser is, you're paying money today, you're receiving delivery in the future, the kinyan takes place in the future, and therefore we'll look at any appreciation, any benefit as Chayim Tanis Mois. Zog the Marsham, that if a person takes a deposit, he doesn't take the full value of the house, he takes a deposit, a 10% deposit. It's there and it's yidua lakol, it's obvious to all that the reason for this deposit is for security, because the seller wants to be guaranteed the buyer will actually close. So then it's clear that the reason why he's setting a price is nothing to do with Hamtanas Mois, it's not because of the loan. He's not taking this money because he has a cash flow problem and he wants the money up front. He's taking the money as a deposit simply because he wants to know, he wants to be insured that the person will actually follow through and come to the closing. In that case, we don't look at any appreciation, any increase in value as payment for a loan. We look at it as if he locked in the price simply because he was guaranteed a buyer. And it has nothing to do with Hamtaras Mois, it has nothing to do with Ribis, it would be Mutter. Now, there are two points that you have to realize with this answer. The first is that the Marsham is essentially, in a sense, disagreeing with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to be poisek on payers because we always assume that the discount is because of the Hamtanas Mois. The Marsham essentially is coming to say, today things are different. And you need someone like the Marsham to the places of the Marsham to say this. And what he's saying is, in today's environment, there are cases where there's an Anan Sadi where it's not because of Hamtanas Mois. It's not because of the loan, it's only because of security. You can only apply that when you're very sure of the facts. When it's very clear that the entire deposit is only there for security. If it's unclear, if there are two reasons, then this will be also. And you know, in a practical sense, very often for security, a 10% deposit will be enough. Again, the numbers obviously will vary depending on the place, depending on the market. Builders or the developers will very often ask for more simply because part of their rationale is the more money they get up front, the less they'll have to finance. If that's part of the rationale, if that's part of the reason, you're dealing now with Hamtanas Mois, and the halacha of the Mishnah would apply. The second point to take into account is that today, normal contracts call for monies to be put in escrow. If the developer insists that the money be released from escrow, so it's likely, again, doesn't have to be, but it's likely that the reason that why he wants this not simply for security, he wants it because he wants the cash flow, he wants the money up front. If it was only for security, typically an escrow agreement would have been sufficient. So when you have such situations where it's being released to the developer, you have to wonder and you have to question whether the Marsham's heter will apply. Of course, if it's not being released, if it's going to be held in escrow, the entire problem of the Mishnah would be irrelevant, because there's never a loan, there's never Hamtanas Mois. The money never reaches the developer, it's not given in advance, it's being held by an attorney, and therefore, clearly, according to all shitas in all scenarios, there would be no problem of ribis whatsoever.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.